This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
To welcome back a familiar voice to iRadio's group chat, careers coach Angela Burke. She's here today to help us start the work for the new year on the right foot, from making the most of our annual leave to setting realistic goals and even creating vision boards that can actually work. Angela, it's great to have you with me again. Does January still feel like a fresh start in the world of work nowadays?
Oh, I love a fresh start and I love a new year. Yes, it can, but it's more of a mental reset. So I feel like it's a lovely time of year to do what I call a career reset. So doing a little audit on your career, you know, checking in with what's going on for you, whether you're happy with things as is, I suppose, and if not, figuring out what needs to change. And the funny thing is, a lot of the time, for a lot of people, the actual job doesn't even need to change, but maybe it's your perspective that needs to change, or just something about how you work, or you know, the type of work you're working on. And sometimes even just that perspective change itself is actually half the battle, isn't it, Valerie?
I think perspective is such an important part of life, and then like I think the more you grow in your job, you realize perspective is very important. Is that one of the biggest work-related concerns that you've been hearing?
You know what, it's definitely related to one of the big concerns. I see so many people feeling stuck in roles that just don't suit, you know, their life anymore, but they don't really know how to actually get out of that rut that they're in. And then there's that kind of lack of motivation, increasing overwhelm, and sometimes burnout that comes with that as well. Because if you spend long enough doing a job that is draining the life out of you, it is going to creep into other areas of your life. It's funny, I'm actually seeing the last few years, there's definitely a growing question of like long-term sustainability. So people are starting to ask themselves, you know, can I actually realistically keep working like this for years? And a lot of people are kind of saying, well, no, I can't. And actually push is coming to the shove and I have to change something.
It's all about resetting that, I suppose, around this time of the year, getting stuck back into it and maybe looking at the goals in advance. I know as well, a lot of people's annual leave resets goes back to the full amount of days again in January. Is it important to think about annual leave early in the year, I suppose, on an emotional level, so you can soften yourself back into work, but also on a practical level too?
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, we all need something to look forward to, don't we? Particularly in the depths of winter. I'll definitely be doing a little bit of this now, a little bit of planning over the next 2 weeks. I feel like I'm getting itchy feet. But on a serious note, it is so important for energy management and for preventing burnout as well. You know, I like to spread mine out throughout the year. So I feel like there's always a pick-me-up ahead, or even just like a little opportunity to switch off. And a good tip I have for people if they are starting to think about their holidays now is to even book one day off following a really busy period. Because if you know in the depth of that busy period that you had that one day even of rest and just to get your whatever it is, your meal planning, your house in order, a massage, whatever will just get you through that busy period, just having it ready, you know. And I always say to people as well, like, think about the bank holidays that are coming up. Like, if you are short on annual leave, you can really use those to your advantage in terms of just getting that extra little stretch out of a week or a long weekend.
That can be a real life hack for sure. The likes of the St. Patrick's Days and Easter and things like that, the way that they fall, you can try and book things off around that. We've actually had a message in from someone this evening who wants your advice. She says, I feel guilty taking time off because I'm often left with an even bigger workload when I come back. Sometimes it feels like it's just not worth taking the annual leave at all. I don't know what to do about it or how to reduce the workload. I think this is something that a lot of people suffer with, in fairness, not just this one listener who's been in touch.
It's so common. And you know what? It actually speaks a lot to the level of workload that that person is trying to work through, and potentially the evident lack of support or lack of cover if they can't actually take their annual leave, or if they're having like a lot of stress around taking it. I think long-term overload, Valerie, is definitely a sign that a conversation needs to happen. So I'd love to know, has this person had a chat with their boss, you know, to make them aware of the hesitancy and the stress that they feel, you know, when it comes to taking annual leave. I have learned that people won't have these conversations, but actually when they do, the manager is often willing to work with them on figuring out a solution. So hopefully that gives them some reassurance. And do you know what I've noticed as well? When people know, when people know you are about to take time off, they tend to panic, and then they send over that task that they've been sitting on for weeks for fear that you'll never return from your holiday. So maybe we need to stop telling people that we're going on holidays, and that might help a little bit as well.
That is such a realistic piece of advice. That is something that I'm sure somebody listening this evening is going, yep, that happens to me. Nobody was looking for me all week. They were all looking at me the Friday before I left for my holiday, for sure. Okay, switching things up now. I know that TikTok and Instagram and all the social media platforms indeed are full at the moment with the new year, new me. And vision boards seem to be something that we're looking more and more at in 2026. When it comes to your career, you know, what kinds of vision boards can you do linking into your career going into January now?
Tap into the feeling. I think that's what people miss, whether it's like looking at your career or looking at your life. People start focusing too much on the tangible goal. And you can put, you know, if we focus on career, you can say, I want the promotion, or I want to change jobs, or whatever it is, right? And then you can go about changing jobs. Most of us can make that happen. But if you don't tap into how I actually want to feel and what I need my career to provide, and how I need it to align to my life at this stage of my life with who I am today, well, you could change job. But then, Valerie, you could end up just in a different job. You have the job, that's great, different title, but it doesn't actually solve the problem that you needed it to solve in the first occasion. So what I would say to people is, when, if you're making a vision board or goal setting or whatever, you know, mood board, whatever way you want to go about it, the step I see people skipping all the time is they're not actually starting with what actual meaningful change do I need to bring about in my life or in my career? And what's the feeling I'm chasing, and what change would actually bring that about? And then if you can just nail that, which is essentially the what is the feeling, right? Then how am I going to go about it? What kind of, do you know another one as well? Like, in order to actually make change happen, it's often behavioral change we need to change. So we need to show up as a different person. We need to look at our bad traits, what typically holds us back from, you know, achieving goals, and be like, right, how do I change that? And if you can look at the what and the how and the feeling, you go a far way with it.
Avoiding putting all of those things on the board, I imagine, is that the most common mistake that people make when they're trying to make a vision board, and then they just burn out with it all because they can't get anywhere with it because they've avoided those things?
Yeah, exactly. And they just go into a bit of like analysis paralysis and perfectionism. They tend to overcomplicate things, whereas I just keep going back to like, what do I want? Just ask yourself 5 or 6 times, what do I want? And why do I want it as well? And then thinking about when it comes, if you are making a vision board, you know, rather than just throwing up pictures of like, you know, Johnny on Google or, you know, Jade or whatever it is, like, I would really pick pictures that are actually meaningful for you, because of other, like, it's all about this like mental, it's supposed to tap into the, you know, the psychological side of your brain and actually make, it's like the red car theory. If you see a red car and you're thinking about a red car all the time, you will see the red car everywhere and you will end up buying a red car. So if you can pick pictures that actually have some kind of meaning for you that will evoke the feeling that you're chasing, that will actually work a lot better, because otherwise you're just looking at a picture that has no meaning.
It's all about the meaning behind them, for sure.
Yeah.
When it comes to motivation, people may be struggling with motivation coming into January, even if they like their jobs. It can be very difficult to come back after the Christmas break. I always feel like it's like falling off a cliff into the abyss because you've been building up to the Christmas break for so long. How can people work on motivation over the next 2 weeks and, you know, be productive, but also maybe ease themselves back into things gently if they can?
I love that, gently, yeah, because we don't have to change everything straight away. And if we try to, we're just going to overwhelm ourselves. If you can identify one thing that's draining your energy and either change that or remove it entirely if possible, but that's not possible for everyone. But if you can do that, and then if you can, do you know a lot of people don't realize that they have these things called natural motivators? So what energizes me is completely different to what energizes you, Valerie. But if people can actually figure out when it comes to their work, what naturally energizes them, do more of that, or even habit stack that onto something that drains you, because that's energy management. And I think ultimately, do you know what? If people could just ask themselves, like, am I happy in my work and career right now? Is it adding more to my life, or is it taking away more to my life? And if the answer is, do you know what, it's actually taking away more from my life, just, you don't have to change everything at once, but just maybe even making the decision to say, I am actually going to make a change this year. And what's one thing, like literally just one thing this week that I could do that will bring me a bit closer, whether it's chatting to, you know, someone in a different department, see, can you get experience there, chatting to someone like myself, chatting to a mentor, just moving yourself forward a little bit without any overwhelm, but kind of committing to that change.
How frequently should we be reviewing our goals? If someone puts in a goal in place for themselves, whether that be something in their job, or maybe, as you mentioned there, maybe their end goal is maybe to move out of the job and somewhere else, how often should we be checking in with them?
I think you might be surprised at my answer, but honestly, you need to check in with how you're feeling each week, because if you don't, think about it, you have set yourself a goal, time is passing, you're putting effort and progress into that goal every week. And what about if it gets to three months or 6 months, and you go to check in with it then and you realise, oh my gosh, I'm not actually feeling the way I wanted to feel. Do you know what I mean? All of that work and all of that progress is not actually bringing me, or it's not even bringing me closer to the tangible goal. So what I always say to people is, do, like on a Friday before you down tools, just have a check in with yourself and be like, how did I feel this week at work? What did I do? Did my efforts and my progress bring me closer to where I want to go? And if it didn't, at least then you can go into Monday the following week and actually change tact. And that way you're getting to where you need to go quicker.
It's all about sustainable change, I imagine. Yeah. And that kind of week by week checking in. I like that idea. It's good for any part of your life to be checking in on how you're feeling and where you're at, and looking at the schedule that maybe you've done for yourself frequently, just so that you can avoid maybe that feeling of overwhelm and panic at the end when things aren't going your way. If people are interested in following you and hearing more of your thoughts this evening after hearing you chat to me and iRadio's group chat, Angela, where can they find you on social media for some more career advice?
I'm pretty simple, so it's @angelaburke.ie, and that's my website as well. So yeah, they'll find me there.
Well, I look forward to catching up with you next month, Angela, on our radio's group chat. Best of luck for January, and we will catch up with you again soon.
Thanks, Valerie.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.